Welcome to the Abundant Life Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Russ Cordell. For more information about Abundant Life Church, please visit www.abundantlifechurch.org.
Luke chapter 10 and 38 says this. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and he heard his word, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" You can be seated this morning. So in Scripture, in Jesus' journeys, this is taking place still early in Jesus' journey and still early in the Gospels, and it's throughout the Synoptic Gospels, this Mary and Martha. But somehow in the course of his travels, in the course of his ministry, Jesus became acquainted with these three people, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. Yes, that's the guy that he raised from dead, right? And somehow a relationship was started there. Something happened, something created this deep relationship, so much so that if you read that in Scripture, one of the Gospels will tell you, it says that, and he loved Martha, and he loved Mary, and he loved Lazarus. It doesn't just say he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The gospel writer emphasized so much how much he loved these three people. He said them emphatically on each of their names. So he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Now in this particular passage, Lazarus is not in trouble yet. This is just his visitation to their home. And so many times throughout my walk and throughout history, and maybe you've heard this as well, somehow we got this idea that Martha's the bad guy. Martha's the fake Christian representation, and Mary is the true Christian. And I want to tell you today that that's wrong. That is an incorrect assessment of who Martha was. The Bible says that she was cumbered about many things. She was a worker. That Jesus had come into the house. They knew who he was. As a matter of fact, they refer to him in some scripture as teacher. The ladies refer to him as a teacher. Now, if you understand Jewish tradition, the rabbis didn't teach women, period. So it was remarkable that they were so deeply connected with Jesus, they referred to him as teacher. And so this relationship developed, and Jesus is visiting. They live in a town called Bethany, which is, the Bible says, is about 15 furlongs from Jerusalem. That's only a couple of miles. And you'll see later on in Scripture, if you go through the second part of that story, that stop there at Bethany, at the house of Mary and Martha, is the last leg of his journey before he triumphantly enters into Jerusalem for his last few days on earth. Now, many of you know the story. You understand what happens in the course of this process, that Lazarus passes away, and there's some important message there. But I want to get to something a little bit different. Jesus said in verse 42, he said, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part." The Bible is wrought in a lot of places with that one thing. I joked earlier with some of the folks, my daughter used to listen to a boy band that sang a song called "That One Thing." Anybody know One Direction? They were lovey-doveys, and they sang cutesy little teenage love songs. Anyway, that kept going through my head. That one thing, that one thing. But the Bible is fraught with the one thing. If you look in Psalm 27, it says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That one thing have I desired." Luke 18, it says, when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Come and follow me." He was talking to the disciples. In Philippians chapter 3, "Brethren, I do not count myself," Paul says, "to have apprehended." It means I don't have it all put together. "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind," the past is the past, "but reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the mark for the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The high calling, it says in the KJV. That one thing. 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish." There's that one thing. Sometimes we just got to get that one thing. And Mary, according to Jesus, had and understood that one thing. He says she's chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. Well, what is that? What is Mary's good part? It was her simple devotion to Jesus, loving him by listening to his word. Was Martha bad? Was she wrong for being busy about the things of God and just not paying attention? Well, everything was fine until she turned around and she looked down and Mary is at Jesus' feet, listening to him, submitted to him. And Martha complains, it seems like. It seems like she gets an attitude. Hey, you know, I don't like this. I'm doing all the work. But here's the thing. She didn't run around to her friends and say, oh, that Mary, I can't believe she's just doing this. She didn't go and she didn't complain to the family. She didn't gossip out loud. She went to the master and she said, Lord, can you please speak to Mary? Can you talk to Mary and say, I need a little bit of help here? She went to Jesus. Martha's not a bad person. She's not worldly. She doesn't have it all wrong. Martha just simply got busy with the things of God and forgot about that one thing that she should have started out with. She should have been at the feet of Jesus first. Sometimes we get wrapped up in the work of God. We get wrapped up in our function. We get wrapped up in this idea that we've got it all locked down. We get about our busies. I love the busies. I just honored a whole bunch of busies, and they've been busy. But I want to tell you what, these guys that I'm working with and these gals that have helped out, they got that one thing. They're doing the busy work. They're doing some Martha stuff. But I'll tell you what, they start out at the feet of Jesus, and they do the one thing first. And then they come in and they give everything they've got to God. Not one of them has said, hey, I don't like what that person's not here. I can't believe this and that. They haven't even come to me and said, oh, I don't like this pastor. Can you get somebody to help? They just simply say, hey, here's what we're doing. Let's dive in and get it. Amen. John chapter 11 talks about the time now we're moving forward in this situation and they appear. I want to point out something odd. In John chapter 11, and we won't have to go through all the scriptures, but it talks about, you'll see a scripture in there in parentheses in the KJV. It says, it talks about Martha and, about Mary. And it says that the one that anointed God with oil and wiped his feet, which is odd because it doesn't really happen until chapter 12. So there's some sort of like prophetic preemptive statement there. And it's a reference back to something that hadn't happened yet. And so in John chapter 11 is when Lazarus becomes sick and he dies. And you know the story. He becomes ill and they send for Jesus. And they say, Master, you know, your friend, the one you love, Lazarus, is very sick. And Jesus actually goes on to say that, he's not sick unto death. But see, Jesus wasn't talking about his physical body. And it actually tells you that he purposely waited. He purposely waited until Lazarus died. He says in there, I want them to see who I am. I want them to know who I am, that I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that I am going to raise him. He wanted it for a testimony, and he purposely delayed. And then Lazarus dies. Well, in the Jewish tradition, many of you already know that after the third day, that's it. They count it. They say the spirit lingers and the spirit will hold for 3 days. But after that, that's no chance. He purposely waited until that fourth day. Now, let's look in here. It says that he became sick. He held back on purpose for that testimony. And then finally, he begins to come. Now, let's take a look again. I want you to look at Martha in John chapter 11, start in verse 20. You can keep John open. We're going to stay there for the duration. 11 and 20 says that then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Martha ran out to him. Anybody ever think of another example in a parable in the Word of God? The prodigal. The father ran out and met the prodigal. There's a love there. There's an affection there. There's something that says she knew Jesus is coming. Lazarus was already gone. He was already in trouble. I mean, it was already 4 days. As a matter of fact, they say in a minute, don't open the tomb. He's going to stink. But she ran out and met him. This, you know, this bad one, Martha, the one that's supposed to be the fake Christian. It says, but Mary sat still in the house, probably in the morning, in her mourning state. That's O-U-R-N. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So some people will say that she maybe had some attitude in that voice. As a matter of fact, Mary says the exact same thing. A little bit further down in the scripture, they probably had that conversation before Jesus came. Could you imagine them sitting around in the house going, oh, if he'd only been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. They probably talked about it. They're hurting. It's their brother. They're still in the flesh, right? And they're going to struggle a little bit with that. But regardless of the tone or whatever she said, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. But look what she says in verse 22. She says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She's got the faith. She understands who he is. And we'll see it in just a moment. Verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now Martha thinks she's talking about the resurrection. She's Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. But look what Jesus says in verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? And she saith unto him, here it is, explosive, powerful. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. The exact words that Peter used in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus came in from the hills of Caesarea Philippi, and he said, who am I, to the apostles? A bunch of them gave answers, but one man stood up, the man who got the keys to the kingdom of heaven, the man who spoke the first message when the explosive move of God happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. That man stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Martha had the same revelation that Peter did. The man that was given the keys, the man that was given the job of foreman of beginning the new church. Tell me that Martha was wrong. Tell me that Martha was a bad person, represented false Christianity, represented the fake person. Absolutely not. She was just missing that one thing. After Lazarus is risen, and of course you know the rest of that story, Jesus goes to the tomb, he speaks out to him, rise, Lazarus. He has to say Lazarus by name, by the way, because if he'd said rise, everybody in the graves everywhere would have got up and risen. You know, Jesus has to be careful. With great power, there's great responsibility, right? So he spoke to Lazarus. Now, luckily, there weren't 13 other Lazarus buried around there because all 13 of them would have got up and come, right? So after Lazarus is risen, there's a time again in John chapter 12 that they come. Now, apparently, he got real healthy real fast because here he is. Jesus is in the house of Martha and Mary again in John 12, starting at verse 1. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. That's the town that they're in, not a person. Now, you understand what Passover is. We just went through that holiday, the Passover season, resurrection. So you know what this is leading to. He's very close to the time when he's going to be taken and killed. He's 6 days away before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, he's there at the supper. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, and here she is again. She's working again. Martha's serving the supper. She's back doing her work. I love Martha. I love her spirit. I love the Marthas that we have here that are willing to come and work. But Lazarus is one of them that sat at the table with them. Isn't that amazing? But look what it says in verse 3. It says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. There she is again. There's a supper, there's food, there's social, there's gathering. But Mary, she's got that one thing, and she gets down at the feet of Jesus and begins anointing him. Now in the other two gospels, and this gets a little confusing, and I've had people challenge me on this, I believe there's symbolism here, but in the other two gospels of Matthew and Mark, and we'll talk about that in a second, it says that she had the alabaster box. Remember that famous story, the alabaster songs? Sister Kylie has that wonderful picture, Mary the Okay, so they had an alabaster box. That's very expensive, and they would put these oils and these ointments in there. It's very expensive oil. And in those scriptures, in those gospels, it says that she broke the alabaster box and poured it over his head. Well, I believe that is symbolic of what did happen. I think in that situation, she started at the head, anointed him, and went right to his feet and anointed his feet as well. She was always at the feet of Jesus. And it says the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, another important thing to realize, there was other people there in this environment. You had Martha there who was doing her serving. She was doing her work Wonderful lady. She had the revelation. She knew who she was serving. She knew who she was about to give a meal to. But Mary just took it that extra step. Was Mary lazy? Was Mary unwilling to work? Absolutely not. But she had her priorities in order. She had things right. She had the one thing that made the most difference to Jesus, because he stopped them from mocking her. He stops them from troubling her. Don't trouble her. She's with me. She's anointing me for my burial, he tells them. This is a very highly important thing that's going on. But there's somebody else in the room at the time, and it's the apostles. A couple of the gospels don't mention it, but in fact, in John, it does mention it. It mentions that Judas Iscariot is there. It talks about the thief that he is, that he's not really one of the disciples. He's carrying the purse of the disciples. He carries their money, and he was angry because the ointment oil was being spilled out and it was worth money. He didn't care about the poor or giving the money to the poor. He wanted to steal it out of the pouch. This is where we reveal that Judas is a bad guy. Later on in Scripture, the next place in Scripture, it talks about how the influence of the enemy starts working on him. And in the third place in Scripture, it talks about where the spirit of the devil enters into Judas. It's a progression in that process. He's sitting there with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior. And he's so consumed and possessed with his worldliness that all he's thinking about is his money. Well, we know where he ends up. Look how powerful Mary's actions are in the eyes of Jesus and the accounts given in both of those gospels I just mentioned. One is in Matthew chapter 26 and one is in Mark 14. Mary took the alabaster box, as I said, of the precious ointment, poured it on his head and sat at meat with him. She did it for my burial, Jesus said. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told a memorial for her. Because she had the one thing, because she understood what was most important. It wasn't a bunch of meals. It wasn't a bunch of mamby-pamby jobs and things to do around the place. It didn't have anything to do with that. It was so powerfully important to Jesus that she had the one thing. She understood that one idea, that good part that Jesus said, that he said, from now on, when the gospel is preached, let this moment be a memorial for her. He didn't do that with just everybody. But that's how significantly powerful that moment was, that she got her priorities right. She got it in the right order. Martha was not a bad person. She gets a bad rap. And it is not a comparison of a true Christian and a fake Christian, as some say. Martha was a hard worker in God's house, but she took her eyes off Jesus. Martha didn't run off and complain to her friends and treat Mary badly or gossip or act out in anger. Martha went to Jesus with her frustrations and asked him to help. Martha went out and met Jesus when he came. Martha acknowledged his power. She acknowledged her faith. Martha had the revelation of who he was, like Peter, as I said in Matthew 16. Martha served God diligently with the best intentions, but she missed that one thing. You can stand with me this morning as I'm closing. Folks, we have an event coming up. I was hoping to play the video here today. We weren't able to do it. We'll do it next week. On Sunday, May 23rd, is a Holy Ghost crusade that's happening in Milwaukee called Save Our Nation. SaveOurNationWI.com is the website. Go there. See the videos that have been produced by Brother Josh Herring, the evangelist that's leading this thing. They are going to take thousands of people down to the UW Panther Arena in downtown Milwaukee. There are youth and young people across Middle Asia and Europe that are praying for the state of Wisconsin right now for this revival service. The Apostolic Youth Corps is coming into Milwaukee, and they are going to blanket the city, reaching out to everybody they possibly can to get them into this arena event, to get these people filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm taking our portable baptismal down to the arena along with several other churches so they can literally begin to baptize people in Jesus' name on that spot. Amen. I want to tell you, the people that understand the one thing, it's time to get down to the feet of Jesus. All the other work is important. God bless us all for the work that we do. And we got to keep doing that work. But be like those who start at Jesus' feet first. We got to get some folks together. We're putting flyers together right now. I'm talking about, if I can get the funding together, I'm talking about getting a bus. I talked to Fran at Econowalk Transit. If you bring a guest and you're willing to jump in that bus with a guest and get them down to the Panther Arena and get those people in front of a powerful evangelist, we'll charter that bus if we can do it. If I can get the money, I'll pay for it myself. I don't care, because I want to see some people filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to see the revival that's coming to Wisconsin begin to happen. Brother Hernandez, his contemporary, his mentor was Brother Herring, his contemporary was Brother Eli Hernandez, one of the first major names in Pentecost to die from the COVID pandemic. Had a vision. He said that Wisconsin district is going to be the place where revival begins in the United States. There are powerful men and women of God that have been fasting for months and months and months, confirming within God that this event is going to be a powerful explosion in the city of Milwaukee. There are churches around the state of Wisconsin that are satelliting this in. There are people that are chartering buses to get folks down there. They're blanketing the city of Milwaukee, putting out flyers and inviting people. I'm telling you, there's going to be people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the streets outside the arena. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Marshall Newbel from Milwaukee, for 25 years, takes a day every single week and walks the UW Panther Arena and prays over it. Never knew why he did that, never understood what it was, but he felt compelled to continually circle and pray around that one particular building in the city of Milwaukee, and it becomes the place where the crusade is going to begin. He's got that one thing. He started at the feet of Jesus. I want you to be a part of this. More information is coming out. Go to the website. Get a part of it. We're going to satellite it here too, because the one thing they said, don't make this another Christian conference. We want people here that don't have the Holy Ghost. We want people that don't know God. They want a 60-40 ratio. If you can bring a guest, go. If you can, come here. Be a part of that live stream. 6:30 that night on May 23rd is going to be a powerful, powerful event. It's going to be monumental and historic for the state of Wisconsin. And every one of those people believe it. Watch the video on there today. Go and see what Josh Herring says. You can't not feel the Holy Ghost while you're watching that man preach coming out of that short video. He's got retention tools that he's sharing. I'm taking an altar core led by brother and sister Aaron and Lauren Brown, who are becoming our altar worker team. We're going to take altar workers down there just for the purpose of being ready to pray people through to the Holy Ghost. You see, Martha's a great spirit, and Martha's awesome. She's not a bad person, but Mary had what it took. She had the one thing. Mary knew that the one thing earned her a memorial before God forever. In Luke 10, she sat at his feet and learned. In John 11, she fell at his feet and surrendered. And in John 12, she anointed his feet and honored Jesus. Mary knew how to serve, but she also knew how to sit at the feet of Jesus. Charles Spurgeon said, the way to get revival is to begin at the master's feet. You must go there with Mary, and afterwards you may work with Martha. We can't do these things anymore as a one-off. It can't be just a rah-rah event. It's got to be something that's permanent. And I want to take it out of the UW Panther Arena, and I want to drag it back here to Econowalk and make this a culture of what we're doing also. In Jesus' name. We need a culture of sharing our testimony like never before, a culture of witnessing like we've not had, a culture of Bible study teaching at a greater level than we've ever seen. We need a culture of outreach, because that's what the feet of Jesus really results in. This altar is open this morning. Seek God, come down, get yourself filled up and fired up. Become Mary. All of you are great Marthas and Marys. We all have both within us. We got to be Mary. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Abundant Life Church podcast. We pray it has strengthened your relationship with God and will continue to be a light unto your pathway to heaven. If you have any questions or comments regarding this podcast, please telephone our ministerial team at 262-965-5177 or email us at info@abundantlifechurch.org.